This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, September 22nd, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, The Engineering Guy. Bill Hammack will have part one of the series on water, where it comes from and how we manage it for the future. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Illinois state senators will gather in special session today in Springfield to deal with ethics legislation, but they're also under pressure to stave off budget cuts, as Sean Crawford reports.
Government employees being laid off, parks and historic sites closing, reductions in state services, all are repercussions of the governor's budget cuts. House lawmakers recently voted to restore some of the money, but the Senate is yet to act. That could happen this week with lawmakers back at the Capitol, but Steve Lobb says it won't occur unless the public gets involved. Lobb is the county board chairman in DeWitt County, where the Weldon Springs State Park is set to close.
We need to make people understand at the levels that are making these decisions, they're not acceptable to us.
Lobb is urging individuals to make phone calls and emails to lawmakers telling them to restore funding. A spokesperson for the Senate president won't say if the budget will be part of this week's agenda, which will include ethics changes. I'm Sean Crawford.
After campaigning in Green Bay, Barack Obama is scheduled to return to Chicago tonight for two fundraising events. The first Chicago event will be held at the Standard Club, while the second is being hosted by Illinois State Treasurer Alexi Janulius. It has a $28,500 admission price. The Sangamon County Coroner has identified a female University of Illinois at Springfield student who was shot dead at a gas station as 46-year-old Linda Caldwell. Authorities say an autopsy is planned today for the Springfield woman who was gunned down less than 2 miles from campus early yesterday. Police Lieutenant Chris Mueller says Caldwell was pronounced dead at a local hospital shortly after police arrived at the scene. Mueller says that detectives are following several leads. University police sent an email shortly after the shooting to faculty and staff advising that the campus housing office and counseling center are providing assistance in helping those affected by the shooting. Time zone changes have faded as a political issue in Indiana, but the gubernatorial candidates keep getting questions about it. Democrat Joe Long Thompson has proposed two non-binding referendums. One would ask voters what time zone Indiana should be in, and the other would ask whether the state should observe daylight time. During the 2004 campaign, Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels said he would push for a statewide DST because it would eliminate confusion over time that was hurting commerce. A recent Indianapolis Star WTHR-TV statewide poll of 600 likely voters showed that 48% thought DST was good for the state, 36% thought it was bad, and 5% were unsure. The poll had a margin of error of plus or minus 5 percentage points. The Indianapolis Star reports that a push to repeal Indiana's ban on Sunday alcohol sales could come from an unexpected source, liquor stores. A coalition called Hoosiers for Beverage Choices says it's already gathered 13,000 names on an online petition to allow Sunday alcohol sales in Indiana. The group wants the state to allow Sunday sales of alcoholic beverages at drug, grocery, and convenience stores. But the Star says liquor stores don't stand to profit much by allowing Sunday sales. Indiana Association of Beverage Retailers President John Livengood says Sunday is often the only day off for liquor store owners who tend to run their own businesses. If Sunday sales were legal, the Star says liquor store owners might have to choose between giving up their day off or forfeiting sales to competition. A treaty designed to keep Great Lakes water in the Great Lakes is expected to get the final go-ahead from Congress today. Sam Hudzik has that story.
The U.S. Senate okayed the Great Lakes Compact earlier this summer. After the House gives its expected approval, the treaty will head to the president for his signature. That's not in doubt. He announced his support weeks ago. The treaty would block most communities outside the Great Lakes Basin from tapping into the fresh water supply. But some say there's a dangerous loophole. Critics say a provision in the legislation leaves open the door for bottled water businesses to loot the lakes. Proponents shrug off that concern. They say the compact is a carefully negotiated plan that'll help sustain water levels in the lakes. I'm Sam Hudzik.
Officials from the Chinese American Museum of Chicago have vowed to open the facility again within a year. part of the three-year-old museum in the city's Chinatown, was destroyed by a fire last week. Museum President Kim Tee estimates the restoration costs run around $1 million. Officials couldn't put a price tag on the museum pieces lost in the fire, but they say among the most valuable pieces were 23 boxes of silk items from the 30s. Fire department officials say the cause of the blaze in the four-story building is still unknown. Authorities say the third and fourth floor were a total loss. A farm family's donation will ensure that the rapidly developing southwest side of Champaign will have some natural space. Later today, the Champaign Park District breaks ground on a new 38-acre park just north of Windsor and Rising Roads. It'll be the district's first park featuring a few playgrounds and lawns and more natural areas, including native plants. Spokeswoman Laura Otterberry also says it will be a vital feature of an area that will soon have lots of families.
We were very, very excited about the opportunity that it provided, particularly in this area of town that is experiencing a lot of residential development. So we were thrilled to have the opportunity to maintain and have some open space dedicated out there amongst all of that development.
The first phase of the Porter Family Park project will involve trails, a parking lot, and a small shelter, as well as the natural areas. It'll cost about $1 million to develop. Oliveri says future phases are up for discussion, but will revolve around environmental education. They cruise down the O'Hare runway, some going faster than others, some slowing and even grinding to a halt. None of them took flight because they weren't planes. There were all more than 2,000 people in gym shorts and running shoes taking part in the first-of-its-kind race on the new runway at O'Hare International Airport. Several runners threw out their arms as they stepped onto the runway and made mock jet sounds as they glided back and forth like they were airplanes. Others got into the spirit of the day by affixing plastic airplanes to the tops of their hats. Real jets using adjacent runways screamed just hundreds of feet overhead during the race. This happened yesterday morning at O'Hare. Bright red signs along the runway route read "Stop Aircraft Movement Area." For the latest newscast online, go to wil.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. Bill Hammack has been doing a lot of thinking about East Central Illinois' water supply. You may know him as WILL's engineer guy, trying to bring complex scientific issues closer to home. All this week, Bill is taking a look at how we use water, how much we have, and how we manage it for the future. Today, he begins his journey not far from his front door.
I suppose, like most of us, I take for granted the water that comes to my house until, of course, something dire happens. Right now, the water company's using a metal detector to search for the water cutoff in my front yard as water fills my basement.
The whole top of the valve snapped out. We're lucky the whole valve didn't come off the top and...
That's Eddie, my plumber, describing the state of the aging water main inside my house. Shaken by the image of water pouring into my basement, I'm no longer complacent about the source of water in Champaign-Urbana. And so I go in search of its origin. I start about 30 miles west of my home in Urbana, in the small town of Leroy, where I hope to see something invisible to the untrained eye, yet critically important to everyone in this community.
And now I've lost my directions. Look at my directions. Okay, there's the Casey's General Store. Ah, McLean County Highway 21.
I arrive at the crossroads of Leroy-Lexington Road and McLean County Road 900 North. Because of my GPS, I know I'm exactly 3,669.81 miles from Lake Tana in Ethiopia. That's the source of the Nile that created the Fertile Crescent that gave rise to the Egyptian Empire. From my car, I'm now viewing my own community's Nile, if you will. I'm surrounded by miles of flat farmland, except if I look due south down Lexington Road where the road dips deeply. An unusual feature in the heartland of Illinois, but according to David Larson of the Illinois State Geological Survey, it's a very telling feature.
Well, I think the most characteristic thing here would be to observe a very broad, long depression in the ground surface. But it's miles wide. It's to the point where an untrained observer would just say, oh, that's nice. What they're not looking for is that sort of that innate third dimension, and also the time dimension. What happened here?
So what did happen here? Buried hundreds of feet beneath me lies the ancient Mohammed Bedrock Valley. Over 1 million years ago, a mighty river cut through the shale bedrock below. With chiseled banks as high as 150 feet, it rivaled today's Mississippi River. Starting near the Indiana-Illinois border, this majestic river made a graceful U-shape across the region, sweeping southwest toward Champaign-Urbana, then turning northwest to Bloomington. The river slowly died when a melting glacier filled it with sand and gravel, debris that makes the land where we now work and play and live. Paradoxically, the sand and gravel that killed the river created an aquifer that supplies the water that sustains our lives. Geologist David Larson explains how the Mohammed Aquifer works.
Well, actually, an aquifer just sits there because the aquifer is the material. So if you think of the sponge analogy, the aquifer is the plastic or that plasticized rubber that makes up the sponge. In the pore spaces between the grains of sand and the gravel, those pore spaces are where the water resides. And so the groundwater is the important thing about an aquifer. An aquifer is just kind of like the bowl, the container for the water.
Trapped in those spaces is the water we use every day to make coffee, wash our laundry, take a bath, and flush our toilets. But how much water can we squeeze from the Mohammed Aquifer? Here's Derek Winstanley, head of the Illinois State Water Survey.
It's not infinite. You can't just withdraw infinite amounts of water, otherwise you would suck the whole system dry.
So tomorrow I look into this question. How much water is there for us to use, and when, if ever, will it run out? For AM 580 News, I'm Bill Hammack.
Bill Hammack is a chemical engineering professor at the U of I. You can hear more of his observations on engineering and life at his website, engineerguy.com. In the forecast for the region, mostly sunny skies, the high around 80 degrees. For tonight, clear, the low 57. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high 82. Clear skies tomorrow night, the low 58. Sunny skies Wednesday, the high 82. Mostly clear Wednesday evening, the low 59. Mostly sunny on Thursday with a high of 82 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, September 22nd, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.